Good. We want to get into God's Word. If you have a Bible with you, whether that's a hard copy or on your phone, can you turn to 2 Peter verses 1? We're going to be looking at a passage from about verse 3, but we'll get there just now. So that's 2 Peter 1, if you want to turn there so long. So about a year ago, I looked at my schedule of preaching and stuff. About a year ago, hey, come on, stop it. Rebuke you. What? Awkward. Sorry. Okay. Well, we're right. You're going to listen to us now. My goodness, you rowdy bunch of elders in the front. Okay. So about a year ago, I preached called EDC, Everyday Carry. It's quite a thing with some of the younger folk like myself around the world. I'm just trying to throw it out there because I'm feeling old at the moment. And what Everyday Carry is, basically, is we all carry things on our person every day. So it's a watch. Some of us like knives that open up really quickly. Oh, that was quite a nice little snap. Wallets, and some people like different kinds of wallets. I like really thin, minimal card wallet things that flip up. Check how cool this is. I'm just a gadget freak. Flip. And then your cards are just lacquer. And no, you can't. You can't see it. And so you carry things that help you get through your day, help you get through your job, and you can do different various things. So back then, I had a few things. I basically got the same stuff because I'm on a budget, and Abby is very conscious of me not buying extra things. So I have the same watches. I have the same wallets. I have the same penknife. Actually, no, this is a new one. This is a South African brand I'm trying out. And cell phone and all those kind of things. Trying out, and Abby just wobbles. But there are a few new things. I got a man bag. It's not a handbag. It's a man bag. I got a man bag. And it's Odie Green. That's why it's a man bag. It's khaki. And in this, I have a few extra things, just as an illustration as I start this preach. So one of the things I am carrying with me at the moment is a medikit. It's a very small medical kit, but I like to be able to help. I did a medikit when I was on sabbatical now for the last 2 months. I also carry around with me a tourniquet. I don't know if you've ever seen a tourniquet. This is for in case someone gets stabbed or someone gets shot on a limb. You can stop the bleeding, which is quite cool. You get a little pen there because you've got to write the time so you don't lose limbs and stuff. And I've also started to carry a... someone's laughing. It's true, though. Doctors don't really like tourniquets, but they work on the battlefield. So I've also got myself... Sorry? It is a battlefield. I started carrying a notebook and just writing some notes down and stuff. And so those are kind of my newer additions. I'm also carrying a Leatherman. I thought, you never know when you need a pliers or a saw or a flat nose, a saw to saw wood and stuff. I don't know. And so, yeah, the tourniquet, yeah. And so I've put that into my daily carry so that if I come into any situation, if I come across an accident on the side of the road or anything, I'm ready and prepared for anything, which is great. And you need to realize this. You're carrying stuff with you, but you might not be as intentional as I am to get through my day. And the everyday carry scene is quite cool because you become intentional in carrying things that will help you and the people around you. So when you bring that into your spiritual walk, you need to understand is as a Christian or a pre-Christian, because some of us might become Christians here tonight. I don't know if you're walking with the Lord. And I'm going to give an opportunity later, if you don't know the Lord, to give your heart to Him. You are carrying something with you every day that you can give to others. And His name is Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be continually updating our spiritual walk with the Lord. And if you're one of those Christians that like 20 years ago, the Spirit of God did stuff in me and He was there, and you haven't gone anywhere further than that, but 20 years ago, all your memories are from 20 years ago or 3 months ago, I think you're in serious trouble. Because every single day we should be walking with the Lord. Every single day we should have the Holy Spirit leading us to be the lights of the world, Jesus' hands and feet. And so we need to continually be updating our everyday carry. And so tonight, I'm going to just give us 7 things that will help us be that to the world around us. And as you've been seeing the news, things are going chaotic in our country and all over the world. And now is the time for Christians to rise up. Now is the time where the gospel message is going to be even brighter and louder than ever before, because people are in desperate need. Because they're in fear. They're in want. There is no hope. But His name is Jesus. And you and I can be those people to take the light of Jesus to the world around us. And so thank you. One person's going to be excited. And so the last preach I did, it should come up there. I mentioned four things that stop us. And I just want to remind us, if you have forgotten, because I forgot, it was a year ago. But the four things that stop us from carrying Jesus every day is, first of all, comfort. And I want to remind you tonight, if you are a child of God, you are not your own. You have been bought at a price. Comfort is not for Christians. Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to heaven, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. And that was the one thing I started with. If you are comfortable, even in this church, you're in a very dangerous place not to shine and carry Jesus with you every day. Second thing I mentioned was conforming. The Bible in Romans says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the thing about conforming to the world is, if we all conform to the patterns of this world, you know what happens? As a Christian and as a person, you become invisible. Because if you're just doing everything that everyone else is doing, what makes you different? It's just quite a thought. And Moses got this right. When he was looking for the glory of God back in the Old Testament, he said to the Lord, I will not leave this place unless your presence goes with me. Because how will the people know that you're with me if you don't go with me? And he had the right understanding. He didn't want to conform. He wanted to be different. He wanted the nations of the world to see the God that he served, which is awesome. The third thing I mentioned was confrontation. If we're not willing to confront things as Christians, we are called to stand up against evil, to stand up against the devil's schemes. We are called to stand up for truth. That's confrontational. When everyone's going one way and we're going, whoa, that is not God's way. That is not the kingdom. We got to go the opposite direction. That's confrontational. If you see sin in another believer's life and you don't call it out, they are going to really be in pain. The Bible says we got to judge one another in the church. And you're like, what? That is a scripture, by the way. We're not to judge the world. We are to judge each other, whether we're walking with the Lord or not. And if we don't confront each other and the sin that so easily entangles us, as the Bible says, we won't be able to take Jesus with us. And then lastly, in that preach, I mentioned copping out. And I've seen this a lot. Copping out is basically tapping out. I give up. I can't persevere anymore. I can't take this anymore. It's too hard for me. It's too hard to walk with Jesus. I see Christians tapping out all the time. And just because you come to service or home group doesn't mean you're not tapped out. You could be here and not worship God in your heart. You could have your quiet times, but not be doing it for any other reason, but it's a religious thing you do. You're already tapped out. And God has something greater for us as Christians. He's called us to persevere to the end. The Word of God says that those who stand to the end will be saved. That's an awesome thing. And so that's my last preach. The four things that can stop us. Tonight, I want to look at 2 Peter. And I want to look at a scripture that will change our lives if we get it into us. But before that, Billy Graham, one of my heroes, says this: we are the Bible, the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. And we are the sermons the world is heeding. And it's a beautiful thing. What he's saying there is what I'm trying to say. We are here to shine. We are here to take Jesus with us every day. We are here not to conform, but to confront, not to tap out, but to show the world that there is hope again. To show the world that Jesus is alive and he's active in our lives and he's changing us from the inside out. It's a beautiful thing. People are looking at us going, man, if Brett can do it, so can I. If Wes can do it, so can I. If Victor can do it, so can I. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. So what does 2 Peter 1 say? Let's read it together. It says this: for this very reason, I want you to keep that in mind, because you said something beforehand in verses 3 to 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Listen to verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's such a cool scripture, this. If we get this in our hearts tonight, it'll change the game for you. And I'm trusting because I believe the Word of God is living and active and useful to bring us into a place where we love Jesus more. I trust that. I know it. I believe it because He's doing it in me. It'll be a game changer for this congregation and for Josh Jen and for 412 churches around the world. And so let's break this scripture up a little bit and just look at it. So the first thing I want to just mention is, I'm just pushing multiple buttons here. Make every effort to add to your faith. And just as I started with the illustration of adding to my everyday carry physically, we need to make every effort every day to add to our spiritual EDC. So the word every in the Greek is a full quantity or to the extent of being so complete. And so he's saying, be complete every day in the Lord and in the ways of the Spirit of God. The word effort is do it quickly to the best of your ability with eagerness. So you get this thing. It's not like, oh my goodness, I'm waking up again. I have to follow Jesus today. No, he's saying make it effort. Try your hardest with everything in you, with excitement and eagerness to say, Jesus, today I'm going to shine for you. Today I'm going to carry you with me. Make every effort. I got a bit loud there. Sorry. Getting excited. Make every effort. I'm intentional in what I carry with me because I know one day I'm going to need this stuff. And so one day when I've left this bag at home, that's going to happen. I'm like, no! You know how it is, like Murphy's Law. But every day we can encounter those that need Jesus. Every day we can encounter an opportunity to pray for someone to be healed or someone to fall into hope. And can I ask you, as I've had to ask myself, are you making every effort every day to add to your faith? It's a good question to ask yourself. And so let's look at the word faith. We know a few things about faith. We know that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seeing. Hebrews 11 verses 1. So faith is hoping and conviction in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Even if we don't see what He's doing, we have faith and conviction in Him. We know that faith is a gift of God. He gives it to us so that we can follow Him. He gives it to us so we can live out our spiritual lives for Him. It's a gift that you can have and take for you. We know that without faith, that it's impossible to please God. We know that every single one of us in this auditorium tonight can have faith if you ask God for it. It's a beautiful thing. And so as I look over you, we can draw a baseline. Everybody has some type of faith, one or another. It just depends on if you're adding things to those faith that are going to get you closer to the Lord every day. Some of you might want to give faith to God today in a sense and say, God, I put my faith in you for the very first time. Some of us might have walked with the Lord for many, many, many years. You still need faith. You still need Him to add things onto you so you don't get stale. He doesn't want us to lose passion and desire for Him. And so faith is a very real thing that we need in our everyday life. Amazing. So what do we add to this faith that He's given us? This faith that He has imparted in our hearts. Well, the first thing that we need to add to our faith is virtue. So what does the word virtue mean? Let me throw it out there. I'm talking too much. Oh, Bubba. Oh, Roddy. Love you. I tried to get him to preach earlier, but he didn't want to. It was terrible. I was like, Roddy, you're going to preach tonight? Nope. And so what's virtue mean? Sorry? High morality. So what he says is this. It's very good. It's goodness or moral excellence. Michael, well done, Mike. You did well. You messed it up yesterday at the leaders' meeting, but you won it today. Well done. Well done. No, I'm just kidding. So to our faith, we add moral excellence. I've mentioned this pet hate of mine before, so I'm going to go down this road again. On a daily basis in Edgemead, I'm almost driven into at least 3 or 4 times a day by people that aren't stopping at stop streets. It's a thing that Edgemead people do, Robbie. No, just kidding. And you know what the saddest thing is? The one day, the third or fourth time I almost got taken out was one of our guys from our church in Josh Jen, who was teaching their kid to learn how to drive, and they didn't stop at a stop street and almost blindsided me. I had to skid to a halt. And then they were cross with me. And I was like, whoa, hold on. The point I'm trying to make is this. If we're not even faithful to little things, if we can't obey our government by stopping at a stop street, I'm telling you now, stopping at a stop street is not going to make you that late that you're going to miss your appointments for the day. How can we be trusted with the kingdom things? See, moral excellence is being excellent in every single aspect of our lives. It's like getting to the place of, like, God, I want to love what you love. I want to think like you think. I want to live my life above reproach like you want me to be. It's actually being holy as he is holy. It's impossible without God in our lives. I know that because I'm trying hard and I'm failing all the time. But it's something that we need to be trying to add to our faith on a daily basis. Second thing that he mentions is knowledge, which is quite interesting. The knowledge in the Greek here is not intellectual pursuits. Okay, so let's don't get that mixed up. It's actually spiritual knowledge of who Christ is through the Holy Spirit. It's focused on the work and the person of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so to add to our faith knowledge of who Christ is, that's vision, right? So when Isaiah saw God on the throne in the robe of the temple, his robe for the temple, it was a vision of who Jesus was. And so we need to add that to our faith. Because if we don't have a vision of who Jesus is every day, we're going to lose it very quickly. Very, very quickly. And so I suppose, are you adding the knowledge of who Christ is in your life? So faith and goodness and spiritual knowledge is, or virtue, is not enough for the Christian walk. We need to add self-control. Because we can have all those things, but if we're not self-controlled in the Lord, if we allow our passions to control our lives as Christians and follow our passions, they will control us. And our passions are more often than not God's passions if we're not plugged into Him. And so self-control is actually a fruit of the Spirit. I preached that a couple weeks ago. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And I see a generation of people that aren't self-controlled. Hence all the gender violence stuff happening around our cities and our country right now in this day and age. It's a self-control thing. It's a lack of spiritual fruit thing. And so to add to our faith, self-control is so important. So, so important. You guys are very quiet tonight. Are you guys getting it? Am I speaking too fast? Okay, careful. Are you guys getting it in? And then the last thing in this point that I'm trying to make is perseverance. Not the last thing. Perseverance and godliness. And so he's calling us to persevere to the end. I've already mentioned that earlier. And then godliness refers to piety or devotion to God, to the reverence towards God. And what I want to highlight very quickly is this. The first five that I've just mentioned on this list have everything to do with your spiritual life and my spiritual life between you and the Lord. It's very interesting. They're all introspective. It's add to your faith, virtue, goodness, perseverance, all those kind of things, self-control. It's something that you and God have to do. The last two are outward, which is quite interesting. The last two are brotherly kindness and love, which is, or mutual affection and love. And it's quite interesting. If we can't get the first five right, we're not going to be able to love one another. We're not going to have affection with one another as Christ would want, because that relationship upwards is broken. And that word love is agape love. It's the greatest love. It's a sacrificial love. It's the love of all loves. It's the way Jesus loved us. That while we are still sinners, while we are lost in our transgressions, while there is nothing in us that sought after him or wanted anything to do with him, he died for us. And when he was nailed through his hands and feet, and when he was mocked and his beard was pulled out, and he shouted out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And he gave up his life so that we could know him and add to our faith these things that I've just mentioned. That's love. awesome, eh? And so as a Christian, or someone that might want to be a Christian tonight, you can add to your daily carry every single day. Beautiful thing. I'm going to start drawing to a close. I wanted to do a shorter preach so we can pray for each other and do some ministry. And remember I said in the beginning, he said, for this reason, add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge. And this is what he is meaning. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4. See, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So this is where I want to get practical. And the question that came to my mind is, I don't want to just preach and not have a practical message to it. So how do we add these things to our lives? Is the question I was asking myself when I was thinking about these scriptures. And the only way we can, because there's nothing in us that can do it on our own, is his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's his power that helps us add to our faith these things. It's that simple. You can't buy it. You can't. You just got to be with him. It's his power. It's his divine power. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them, you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world because of your sinful desires. And so practically, the only way we can add these things to our lives is just spending time with our Lord Jesus. Allowing his divine power that he's given freely through his son Jesus to be a part of our lives. That's how practical and easy it is. It's just cutting out that time. We're all busy. Our lives are busy. Our kids, work, pressures of life. But it's cutting out those quiet time, those secret place times. It's cutting out time when you're going into a meeting or you've got a busy day, just before the day. God, be with me. Give me wisdom in that. Help me be a light to that. It's just tapping into the divine power that God has already given to us through Christ Jesus. Do you want to add to your spiritual life? Do you want to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus that goes deep? I do. I mean, think about it. We serve the God who created everything by just speaking it. How much more does he want for us? So much more. But just that those moments with him, however that looks like for you, because my brain doesn't quite work like everyone else's brains. I'm kind of like one of those squirrel guys. Like, I can't concentrate for more than 4 seconds. And so the way Abby has quiet times is very, my wife, is very different to the way I have quiet times. And God speaks to her in her way, and God speaks to me in my way. God fills her in her way, God fills me in my way. But it's that time with him, just searching him, seeking him, waiting on him. Being quiet sometimes. I hate being quiet. I talk too much. I just like, those things freak me out. You know, in the soaking, when people say we're going to soak, it freaks me out. I was like, we'll start getting sweaty. And I find it very hard to lie there still or sit there still. I just like, I'm always wanting to, Abby's laughing. It's true. We're just cutting out that time. So I want to finish with an illustration. I'm going to introduce you to a couple named Glenda and Robert Lennon. And the point I want to try to make is don't float, swim hard. So in the mid-1970s, like 1975, it's a true story. This Glenda and Robert were on the yacht off the coast of Florida, USA. They're about 6.5 Ks off shore, and they were fishing, having a lekker leisurely time together, enjoying each other's company, fishing. And Glenda got warm, and so she jumped into the ocean for a swim. But what she didn't realize was the rip currents were so strong, it automatically started taking her away from the boat. And within a few minutes, she realized there was no way that she could get back. It was just that strong. And so Robert, hearing her screams of just distress, doesn't think. And he jumps in after her and swims to go try comfort her. And he was a champion swimmer. I think he was one of the guys going into the Olympic Games at that stage. So he was a really strong swimmer. And got to her and realized, flip, now he's being pulled by the rip current, and their boat was moving away from them, the yacht. And so he came up with a plan. He said, look, I'm a strong swimmer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to swim towards the boat as long as I can to hopefully wait for the tide to change so that it pushes me towards the boat. Lando, you are not a strong swimmer. So what I want you to do is just float on your back, try to conserve as much energy as you can. I'll try to get to the boat, and when I get to the boat, I'll come and find you. And so that's what they did. 6 hours later, he reaches his yacht. By that time, the sun had started to go down. He turned the yacht around, couldn't find Glenda. He had to wait that whole night, got a search party together. They woke up really early that next morning, and they went searching for her. And it's a good story. It has a good ending. Glenda was found 34 kilometers from where she was when he had swam from her. So they had to go into a whole nother grid. And the lesson that I feel like this illustration wants to teach us today is this. The Christians who just float around, like Lander did, just floating around but not swimming to a point, never stay in the same place. Christians who disobey 2 Peter 1 verses 5 to 7 and do not apply themselves with diligence to bear fruit in the faith drift to great peril. So you might be sitting here going, Brent, I'm all right. I come to church, I go to home group, I read my Bible from time to time. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to be out of my comfort zone. I don't want to add anything to my faith. Do you know what you're doing? You're floating, but you're floating away from the things of the Lord. It's only those that like Robert, her husband, that has put his eye on the boat, that is swimming even against the tide. It's hard. It sucks sometimes, but he made it after 6 hours. Exhausted, but he made it. Those are the Christians that Peter's talking about. So what do you want to be? Do you want to be the Christian that's just floating around and every wind of doctrine comes and you go with that and you get more messed up and then this one comes and you get more messed up? Or do you want to be a believer of Jesus Christ like I want to be, that adds to their faith, virtue and knowledge and goodness and godliness and perseverance, so that I can continue and we could continue to grow into the men and women that Jesus wants us to be, the men and women that he died us to be? Because if we do, and I'll read one more scripture and then I'm going to end. 2 Peter 1 verses 9 and 10. It's the scripture just after what we read earlier. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For it is your the practice of these qualities that will never fail you. It's a beautiful thing. And so what Peter's writing there is going, guys, as for you, my readers of this letter, I know there's more. I know you're not going to be like these guys floating. You're going to be the ones that are adding. You're going to be the ones that are going to become effective for the things of the Lord. Amazing. I'm going to end there. Steve, what do you want to do, dude? Can I pray for us and then do you want to, we can pray for each other. But I'm going to say, do you want to leave this part or do you want me to leave this part? Ah, okay. We'll do a tag team. Let's do that. Okay. So I'd love to pray for us for two things specifically. First of all, there might be some here because I do see some faces I don't know that don't know Jesus. You don't.